Spirit Radio Podcasts.
You're listening to the positive sound of Spirit Radio. It is Jackie here with you and Saturday Magazine. Do you have any children in your house that you'd like to get cooking a bit more? Would you like them get in, you know, get involved in the kitchen, put on that apron and roll up those sleeves? Or maybe you have a student that's about to head off to college, new accommodation, and they could do with some really easy go-to recipes. Well, our next guest might just have the thing you need, as she designed a set of easy-to-follow recipe cards, especially for students and others who might not have great cookery skills. And we have on the line Susan Haley from Get Real Recipes. Susan, you're so welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I was thinking as I was just saying, you know, who these cards would be good for, I think you should also put in there busy moms who are tired of cooking the same thing every night. I mean, these cards are absolutely fabulous. I believe you and your friend came up with the idea when your own children were students. Tell us about how you guys got started with this idea.
Well, yes, my friend Claire, Claire Corbulis, and myself, their kids had just gone off to college, actually. I have five kids, she had three, and mine are all quite close together, so they're all in college. There was two in college and two heading off, twin girls, and one ready to go to college. And I kind of had a kind of light bulb moment one day when they kept ringing me from college, and saying, "Mom, how would you make that lasagna you make at home? I only want to make that when a friend's coming over." And then I'd be in the middle of the supermarket or something, and I'd probably miss an ingredient to tell them, and then I would get shot for it now. But anyway, I had something in their hand. I mean, they cooked at home, but they never really kind of left me to it because they were all about the same age, and it'd be easier to feed them all at once, you know. So anyway, I thought if they had something in their hand, they wouldn't take cookery books to school or to college. And I said it had to be small enough to fit in the back of a playing card or something. So that's really how it developed. And Claire came on board, and she thought it was a great idea. And we literally worked at it together.
Oh, it's an absolutely fabulous idea. There are 52 recipes, because 52 cards in deck, and they're printed on what effectively looks like playing cards. Like I saw these, I was like, are these going to be playing cards? And then you open them up, and no, they're actually recipes. They have the photograph on one side of the of what the food is, and then and how long it takes you to prepare it, and how many it serves. Thank you for that, because I tell you what, I hate it when a recipe doesn't tell you how many it serves. It's like, what useless? That's very important. I need to know. And then these recipes they're for things that you just love, and they're easy to do. I love what you've, how did you decide what went into the pack?
Well, we started off breaking down the first pack, so they're going to be the supper cards, because that's the most important thing for them. And we wanted to give them a variety, obviously, of chicken, beef, lamb, pork, fish, some vegetarian recipes. And none of them are vegetarians, but in case they had vegetarian friends over, and some pasta recipes. So we kind of divided out 52 cards, because we had in our head there were going to be a pack of cards. We had to find 52 recipes, so we just went through all our kind of go-to recipes, and ones we developed ourselves, and took it bit by bit, really, and worked through them there.
Well, you know what I like, Susan, is I'm even finding recipes in here. Like, there's porridge bread. I love porridge bread. And it's the same recipe I use for mine. And it's so simple and so healthy and so easy to do. That's what I love about these cards. These are really good variety, and they're fitting on a card, so they can't be too complicated. You know, I'm thinking I need these cards myself.
Well, one of the criteria was there was to be no fancy ingredient in it. That, you know, you look at it, you think, oh, I don't have, you know, that spice, or I don't have that.
I don't have saffron.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, right, so we actually had a curry recipe there, and we toyed between our traditional chicken curry that we would, a lot of people would have done when the kids were growing up in the 60s and 70s, and then we said, no, we go a little bit modern, we do the Thai one. So we gave two options for the Thai, something simple, and if you really wanted to go for, you know, the more spice thing, you could go and get that. So and that's how they developed, actually. But the, and actually, you mentioned the porridge bread. Porridge bread is on one of the later packs. So first of all, we did the easy supper dishes, and we kind of had to do a run of something like 2,000 of them in order to get them cost effective. But the idea was initially to produce them for our children and friends. So when we had the 2,000, we had to go at it and start a business with it, really.
I love it. So yeah, so it's not just dinner. You've got easy supper dishes, you've got classic cakes and desserts, and you've got lunches, light bites, and more. So there's a real variety here, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, you could, you know, you can make breakfast, lunch, and tea with them, really.
You really could. You could go all day. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, it is a great idea. And I've already said, like, I think, you know, this is way more than just for students. What kind of feedback have you gotten from these cards so far?
Oh, great feedback. Our last set of cards came out a year before last. And, you know, people are obviously following us on Facebook and everything. And I keep recognizing people's names on the order list. And I'm like, I bet they bought them before. And so they come back for the next pack and the next pack. But not so sure there'd be another pack now. But we've had great feedback. I mean, everybody's using them. I mean, initially the idea was for kids going to college and to document recipes we love and we've worked on. And then when we went, we kind of took initially quite crude photographs on the first set, and we went much more professional the next time. We styled photographs ourselves, and we got a super girl in Thurles, Sinead Narean, to take pictures for the rest of the sets, and we had such fun putting them together.
Yeah.
And
they look good.
Our most fun thing, apart from cooking all the recipes, but
yeah. They look really good.
Yeah, so, I mean, in the end, the feedback is, I mean, I have a friend, I won't say who it is, but her partner who lost his wife a few years ago, and he hadn't really cooked all his life. And he had a pack of the cards, and he's raving about them, you know, saying that they were just what he needed, you know.
What a great idea. What a great idea.
He was cooking on his own, you know.
Yeah. So, it'd be great for a widower or, you know, somebody who's on their own and maybe not used to cooking, because it's nice and simple. And they can, that's a great idea. I see also that you've added some new recipes that you find to your Instagram and Facebook accounts. Is that the best place for listeners to find out how to order the cards and how to get involved and get them?
Yeah, absolutely. We website, getrerecipes.com, and we have an Instagram page. I think it's called getrerecipes52, and we have a Facebook page as well. So they'll see lots of you know, ideas, and we post up occasionally some good recipes that we work on. There's some free recipes actually on the website, so they can get an idea of what they are.
Very good.
So yeah, we're thrilled with the feedback. We had to reprint the separate dishes twice after the first batch of 2000 because
wow,
so quickly.
That's impressive. And I see here that each pack costs €7.50, and their full set is €19. You can get them in shops in Tipperary and Waterford stock them, but you can also get them through you guys. So you've got a Facebook, like you were saying, facebook.com/getrealrecipes, and then you have an Instagram account as well, and you have a website, getrealrecipes.com. So there's loads of ways to get their hands on these cards, and I do believe, out of your very generous and very kind heart, you have three packs of cards to give away to our listeners today.
Yes, we do.
You are so good. You are so good. You're so good. I'll give details on that in just a minute, guys, so you know how to enter that competition. But Susan, I just want to say well done to you and your friend. I've already forgotten your friend's name. What was her name?
Claire.
We can't forget Claire. Claire might be listening. So well done to you two for coming up with this idea and doing it so well, because they really are. I'm looking forward to the pack that you sent here for me to look at as well. I'm looking forward to going home and trying a few of these recipes.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Well, thank you very much for having us on. It was such a surprise to be asked to be on, actually. We were all on various journeys. Actually, Claire's in England at the moment. I'm down in my holiday house. We were absolutely thrilled to be asked to be on.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. And I wish you all this. Sounds like it's going really well anyway, but I'm hoping that this just really takes off for you guys and gets even bigger, because it's a great idea. And I hope, who knows, you could go global, guys. You could go global. It could happen. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jackie.
You're so welcome. So that's that's Susan Haley there for Get Real Recipes. So yeah, you can get in touch in so many different ways. Facebook, they're Get Real Recipes on Facebook. GetRealRecipes.com if you want their website. They're also on Instagram, GetRealRecipes52.
Spirit.
Well, you know, we've been in lockdown since March, for 6 months, over 6 months now, I think, and we've all been online, all of us, a lot more, and even very young children are using the internet now. So it's important, really more important than ever. It's always important, but I think now more than ever, that we are taking the steps to make sure that they're safe online. So on the line now to give some advice on online safety and tell us about his new book, How to Protect Your Kids Online, we have Graham Mulhern from Be Secure Online. You're very welcome to the show this morning, Graham.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great having you here. I've had you on before. You know, I've had you to speak at public events before as well for some things that I've organized for parents. And I just think you do a great job of it, Graham. You really do know about how, keeping kids safe online. And like I said there in the intro, tons more people online. Kids are online more because of the situation with the lockdowns and all of that. And you've been taking note of what children are doing online and what apps they're using. Tell us a little bit about that. What's been going on?
Well, the by the way, thanks for the nice words. The big change is TikTok.
Oh, yes, the famous TikTok.
Big change is TikTok. Yeah. And obviously the gaming scene is more active than ever. Mm-hmm. And all of these things are okay so long as they're done with some degree of balance. And parents needn't be afraid of all of this. But sometimes it might need a little bit of a challenge, head-on challenge with the kids. TikTok is the new social media app that's sort of come up alongside Instagram and Snapchat. The biggest issue with TikTok is quite simply that it's become so popular, there are so many people, that all the invaders have moved in, the sort of people we don't want there, and kids sometimes are voting with their feet and moving off. There's nothing wrong with TikTok except for the fact that you have to be careful about how your kids use it. And we explain and show pictures in the new book, and indeed you can get them on YouTube and elsewhere, exactly how to do that. The main thing is your kids must be in private mode on their profiles.
That makes a big difference.
They must not allow other people in. So they must lock the door behind them and only let their friends in, and they must be approved friends only. This is one of the big issues and why we need a social media regulator to tell people that the default state of TikTok should be private and that you need to open it. But that is not in the commercial interests of these big players like Facebook. So that's the first big step.
Mm-hmm.
But TikTok is incredibly popular, promotes an awful lot of creativity. It's really a great, great tool. But if people were just a little bit more cautious, closed the door behind them, by which I mean they locked up their profile, that would be a huge step.
Yeah, and TikTok, you know, you heard a lot about TikTok, it was about like a month ago, and that China would be able to get people's details. Is there truth in that? Do we need to be concerned about the back door of TikTok and what's running in the background and who's lifting the details?
Yeah, well, there's a sort of Trumpian element to that, and Trump has demanded that that TikTok is sold to an American company, and that's underway at the moment. It should have already happened, but there is concerns that there are concerns whether they're fully well founded or not. I'm not in a position to say, but the concerns are that the Chinese government are actively using these details to snoop on Westerners, to snoop on us, and that it's a backdoor. Mind you, the Chinese could easily say back, well, you know, are Snapchat and Facebook not doing the same on your own audience?
Because it's all the same, isn't it? I mean, they all do it. Yeah, they all do it.
Two big boys in the ring, and for a while there's only been one big boy in the ring, and now suddenly China have joined the Americans. Snapchat, Google, and all of these other, and Facebook are all banned in China, by the way.
So, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's been since forever.
Yeah,
so the Chinese have their own services to do all of that.
Interesting.
And, so there's an element of getting you back on that one,
mm-hmm.
which is quite simply, hey, you know, you're doing so well in America, why don't we ban you?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing as we're not allowed over there, why are you allowed here?
Yeah.
There is an element of that to it. Everything in China is subject to, you know, it's a one-party state, and, you know, everything in China is subject to government control.
Yeah. So
that's what people are concerned about.
Yeah, that's what, okay. So, yeah, that makes sense. And getting back to, like, the Irish scene, you know, we've talked before, you and I, about products that you offer to help parents monitor their children's online activities. I know there's people listening today that haven't heard that before, or maybe they've heard it and they need to hear it again. Like, what can we be doing as parents? I know, like, for us, it's constantly changing, isn't it? You can't just do one solution and then you're done. You have to keep involved. You have to, I think the best parental control is the parent. But,
yes. You
know, what are the other things out there that parents can use to help them keep their kids safe online?
Well, the first thing is, my first comment would be almost everything you want to know about parental control can be typed into YouTube, and you can get a quick answer there.
Okay.
Go through a couple of the answers. If you're concerned, I mean, that's a good place to start. And if you're just too tired, but you really want to deal with it, the second thing is to talk to your kids and explain to them. If you see anything that you don't like, come talk to me. The third thing would be to, and most schools and parents are doing this, the third thing is to make a deal with your kids. But base that deal on the simple fact that the internet is a privilege, not a right in my house, and that maybe you have to do something in exchange for using the internet.
Mm-hmm.
If your kids are under 10, limit the amount of time. Block apps, tell them what they can and can't use, what they can't do, preferably use it in front of you or near you. But don't let them sneak off into their rooms. And a big factor is, and there's very little action on this, a big factor is parents need to put stuff like parental control, which the likes of things that we sell on our website, on their kids' phones, to actively do this on your behalf when you're not there or you can't attend to them.
Mm-hmm.
This is recommended by police forces everywhere.
Yeah,
and it's recommended by the World Health Association, by virtually every pediatric society in the world. You can automate parental control so that you get a little assistance. So if your kid wanders offside, she doesn't accidentally end up on a gaming site, an adult content site, or somewhere she just won't enjoy herself or where she might be under threat.
Yeah.
You know, the internet is the great outdoors and we need to protect our kids from it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think too, like, one of the things that we don't realize is that, you know, these games are addictive. I mean, that's the whole purpose of them. They release, like, dopamines in the brain and they're designed to do that, aren't they?
Yes. Look, the internet's job is quite simple. Google's job is to make money off its users. It's a business. That's it. That's why it's so full of ads, and that's why the first page in Google is now just stuffed. 15 years ago, Google used to rank organically. Now you rank by paying Google. Google's job, Facebook's job, Instagram's job, Snapchat's job is to make money first. So their interests are first, yours are very much maybe third or fourth.
Yeah.
And we have to be a bit more cynical about that. It's not their job to look after your kids. That's your job.
That's our job as parents. I had something happen to me last week that I found a little shocking, I have to say. Maybe alarming would be a better word. I was asked to be goddaughter to my niece, right? Now, I didn't make any post about this because my in-laws aren't on Facebook or social media, so I respect that, and I didn't want to post anything about it, so I didn't. But I started getting ads last week for a t-shirt that said, "I'm the best auntie and godmother ever." And I was like, oh my goodness, how did you know that I was a godmother and an aunt to the same child? Like, I hadn't posted about it. I hadn't really. How did they know that, Graham? How did they know?
Thanks for warning about that question in advance. But that's probably quite simple. Go to your apps on your phone and go to your microphone on your, which is in settings. Switch off your microphone on your iPhone or on your Samsung. Again, don't know how to do that. Just type in switch off microphone or listening on my iPhone or Android, and do the same in Snapchat, Facebook. These apps are listening.
That's freaky.
Yes, it is freaky, but that's we gave them that right when we downloaded the app. And we didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
If we paid for it, they wouldn't do it.
Mm.
That's why they default to open. Everything is open and you have to close it. And that's the deal you made when you use their credible app for free. But they've added listening and you can switch it off, or you can stick a jack in the microphone device at the bottom of your phone. But all of these apps are listening, and it's become one of the key ways for these companies to market at you. So Google is listening, Facebook is listening. So if you say you want to go to Spain on your holliers or buy a new car, you're going to get adverts.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so now I'm running out of time, and I want to talk about the new book, How to Protect Your Kids Online. And I know there's practical tips and advice for parents. What are you recommending? What are the basic things you're recommending, and where can people get this book?
Go to our site, which is besecureonline.co.uk or .ie, and just click the buy option, and it's right there on Amazon. And or you can type in on Amazon how to protect your kids online. How to protect your kids online. The biggest single piece of advice is that, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to take it on. And you're not a bad parent if your kid is using a phone very young. And there's lots of advice how to set up these protections, both free and paid for, and we've gone to a lot of trouble to write in free so that you don't feel that you're being pressed to buy something off me as well.
Mm-hmm. You're always very fair about that, Graham, I have to say.
Well,
you're great.
Thank you.
You are. You really are. When I talk to you, it's always about the message. I know there are products there, but I really appreciate the fact that you are so cool about the message and you give it freely. So, you know, it's great to be able to support you in the book as well.
Well, great, thanks. And as an advertiser on your station, I'm delighted you're
And it's true. It's just so true because, I mean, the advice that you give, I think this is something that parents are just so, we are all worried about. If we're a parent, we're worried about it because we know there's probably more we should be doing. And we need guys like you to come in and say, you know, yeah, you guys are doing a good job. You're doing great, but this is what you can do a little bit better.
And I graded it by age with some help from others, from zero upwards to four, mm-hmm. to seven and eight, and talk about gaming. And one great little tip that young parents might just think of, and this one's easy, block off the rest of your phone if your kid wants to play with your device. Create one little folder and put all their games in it.
Oh, that's a great idea. I've heard that before and I always forget about it. That's a great idea.
Yeah, you heard it from me. I said it before.
Sorry, I heard it. I knew I heard it somewhere before, Graham. I knew. This is why I have you on regularly, because it's like, I need to hear it again. Because there is so much information, you don't remember it all. It's like, that's why you need the book, because it's in the book, I bet, isn't it? It's in the book.
That one's in the book, but it's a great starter, because you don't want your kid floating all over your phone.
No.
She may tear up things by mistake,
yeah.
or look at something that is just private information. So just make one folder. She knows where it is, how to click into it. Of course she does. They know that. They know how to do that at one or two.
It's scary how much they know.
Then he or she can get in there, use the apps that you put in there, and that's a great starter.
Okay.
And go from there. And if your kids are going to use social media and bugging you, another great piece of advice is push them in the general direction of Instagram first.
Okay.
Because Instagram, I believe, is probably the best of the three or four major ones to... if you're going to have to concede ground, maybe Instagram is the place to start.
That's the place to start. Graham, thanks.
There's loads of other stuff.
There's loads. And it's in the book. I tell you, Graham, thank you so much for coming on. Tell us again your website and how people can, and the title of the book and how people can get it.
Well, you can book talks or speakers or buy products at besecureonline.ie. And the book is called, if you go straight to Amazon, and thank you very much for this, the book is called How to Protect Your Kids Online on Amazon. And my name is Graham Mulhern.
Graham, thanks so much for coming on this morning and for all your wonderful advice. And keep on doing the work you're doing. We need you.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you so much. Spirit. Now, if you remember back in August, we were talking with Colin Tyner from County Wicklow, who had a great big field of sunflowers in aid of Wicklow Hospice and Irish Cancer Society. And I was so excited because I was growing my own sunflowers. They hadn't bloomed yet. And then there was a storm. And I lost a lot of my sunflowers. And I was thinking about Colin. My heart was breaking for myself and my sunflowers. And I was going, oh, Colin, please, I hope your sunflowers are okay. So we're going to hear how the sunflowers did. And we're going to hear how much money they raised for the charities. Colin, you're very welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you, Jackie. Good morning.
I'm really hoping your sunflowers did better than mine. Tell me yours survived better than mine did during the storm.
I'm afraid not.
Oh, no. I'm heartbroken, Colin. I really am.
We had, I'll never forget it, we had a beautiful Tuesday. It was a bit like today's weather, and they were totally in blossom.
And their prime.
The sheer, and we got a family photo of it. But that night, Storm Ellen arrived, and it was like you rolled them over, you know, they just flattened. And it was hard. We had already decided that we weren't going to... go any further than the following Sunday, but it just meant that anyone that came from that Wednesday
on,
it wasn't as nice looking as it could have been.
I was going to come. I was going to come and when I saw what happened to mine, I was like, I know his sunflowers didn't make it. I know they didn't.
No,
so,
they didn't. No,
yeah.
But they were at the end, really.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still loads to pick at the same
time.
And
yeah.
And it's funny, now as we speak, I'm looking out at them, and where people had cut a lot of the ones, the big ones, the early ones from the outside, they have thrown up extra little flowers.
No
now, and
way.
They're all in bloom around the outside. There are loads of sunflowers in bloom at the moment.
That is so cool. That
yeah.
is so cool.
So they're very resilient. But the ones that fell over in the middle have all sort of gone to seed, and they are sort of black now, and they would be setting seed now. So
very good.
They're
very
okay.
Good.
It just wasn't as, it wasn't ideal, but it could have been worse.
Yeah, I was stomping my feet and going, that's what I get for growing sunflowers in Ireland. I was so sad because I had these two amazing, now I had about half of them made it and half of them didn't, but like the big, glorious, gorgeous yeah. one that I was really looking forward to, never got a chance to bloom. It was so
no,
sad.
No, no, no.
It was so sad.
The bigger and the better they are, the quicker they fall over.
The quicker they go, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the sunflowers didn't fare so well, but I'd like to hear how things went with the, I know you were raising funds for Wicklow Hospice and the Irish Cancer Society. How did that end of things go?
It was amazing. Amazing. We said at the very start, if we raised, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 euros, we would be delighted.
Mm-hmm. So how'd you do?
Delighted. We made over 61,000.
No way!
61,000. It was just...
Colin, that's amazing.
Yeah, we gave over 30,000 to both charities, which was...
Wow.
Just,
you gave me chills. I have chills. That is so exciting. That is a great success.
Yeah, it's just every day we went out, we could not believe the amount of people that were arriving and the amount of money we had in the buckets every evening. Like, we had to empty the buckets some days.
Wow.
We're filling up.
Wow.
You know, it was just... It blew us away.
Yeah.
And you see, there were several things in our favour. The charities involved had to cancel their main fundraising,
mm-hmm.
events, like the Sunflower Day for the hospice and the Daffodil Day for the Cancer Society. And their takings was way down. And then people who normally give to charities hadn't given as well, and they wanted to give.
They
were looking for an excuse somewhere to give as well. And with COVID and everything, they were looking for somewhere safe to go out in the field,
mm-hmm.
the open air, socially distanced, and somewhere different. And they arrived in droves, and it was brilliant.
That is fantastic. I am so glad to hear of that amazing outcome, not for the flowers, but for the funds that were raised. Congratulations to you and your team of volunteers, and the two charities must absolutely be delighted.
I'd have to say thank you to the volunteers, because we thought this was going to be, there'll be a few people arriving, and we'll park a few cars here and it'll be grand. And, you know, we had to call in neighbours who were brilliant. They arrived at short notice to go park cars in a field and to direct traffic on the road. It was that manic here. Some Saturdays and Sundays were just wild.
Wow.
And only for those sort of coming to help, we would have been under pressure. And there were volunteers from the Hospice Society as well that were brilliant.
Well, I hope you're considering doing it next year. I hope you're thinking
Absolutely
about it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
When we started, people asked me, will you do it again next year? Yeah, that's no problem. It's not a problem at all, yeah. By 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks in, when we had been trying to do the work before the people arrived in the morning, the farm still had to be run. And then we finished farming by about 10 o'clock in the morning. Then we spent about 12 hours standing at the gate and directing people and telling people the story and everything. And by 3.5 weeks of that, I said, people asked me, are you going to do it again next year? Absolutely not. No way. But there are other people going to do it.
Oh, good.
I know that for a fact.
I was going to say, it's probably a bit like having a baby. You know, just after you had a baby, don't ask a woman, are you ready to have another, right after she's just been through labor? Because she's going to say, are you crazy? Of course not. And then, you know, here's a woman who's had 7 babies. You know, I'm going to give you a little time to settle.
I think it's very like that. You're right. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
The pain might sort of disappear after a few months, but... I know of at least 5 or 6 in Ireland that are that were talking to me that were seriously thinking about
it. I love it. I love it. I hope they do it. I think it's a great idea. It really, really is. And I'm so happy for you that it was such a success on the raising the funds for the Wicklow Hospice and the Irish Cancer Society. Colin, well done for the sacrifice that you made and your volunteers.
It wasn't that big a sacrifice looking back on it.
See, you're already looking at it better.
No.
I'll have you talked into this in 6 months' time. Colin, thanks for coming on this morning, and well done for what you did. You did
a great
job.
Thank you for publicising it and having me on early on in the play there, and it got a lot of people coming.
It was our pleasure to do something great like that, doing a little tiny part of it. Thanks so much, Colin.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's so good to hear something positive in these days, isn't it? And making such a big difference out of such a simple idea. That was Colin Tyner from Minmore Farms, and we thank him so much for coming on and talking to us about his sunflowers today. And well done for Wicklow Hospice and Irish Cancer Society, which I'm sure are very happy to receive more donations from listeners out there. If you guys want to, if you didn't get a chance to see the sunflowers, but you want to make a donation, you can certainly go online and do that for Wicklow Hospice and Irish Cancer Society.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.